This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Audio Journal's Young at Heart. The book selections for this hour are designed for elementary and middle grade listeners. This program is supported in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. My name is Lavender, and I'm happy to be with you today. I will continue reading from the book, The Doll People, by Anne M. Martin. Chapter 13, Where's Papa? Nora's room was a wreck, and Annabelle was positive the doll code of honor had been broken. Uh-oh. Things had been moved. Oh, Mom Funcraft had tracked grape soda across the rug. The paper flowers had been trampled. Dolls that didn't belong in the room were there. Worst of all, one doll was missing. Annabelle surveyed the room while the grown-ups revived Mama Doll. She found that she was shaking, but not, she realized, with fear. Annabelle was furious. She couldn't remember the last time she had been quite so angry. Maybe she had never been this angry before. Papa had been carried off by the captain, and it was Tiffany's fault. Tiffany, with her, "Don't worry about the captain," and her, "He never catches us," and her, "I promise he's just playing." Annabelle glared at Tiffany. Tiffany was talking quietly to Bobby and Bailey. When she glanced up and saw Annabelle looking at her, she joined her in the doorway. "I'm sorry, Annabelle," she said. "I really didn't think... I mean, the captain has never... We've played with him almost every night since we got here." Annabelle continued to glare at Tiffany. I know you're mad," Tiffany began to say. Annabelle nodded. "Well, I said I was sorry." "I know." Annabelle looked down at her feet. She looked across the room at the grown-ups. Then she let out a big sigh. "Look, if you're just going to be mad..." "Tiffany, let's not fight," Annabelle interrupted her. "Anyway, this is partly our fault. I mean, my family and I decided to come over here. You didn't force us to do that."
"No."
"So let's just do what we have to do. Together. And the first thing we have to do is put Nora's room back in order." "Quickly," she added, looking at the clock on the wall. "And the rest of my family has to go home. Then you and I will start looking for Papa."
"Selp," said Tiffany.
"Exactly," said Annabelle. "It's a good thing we're prepared for something like this." By now, Uncle Doll had helped Mama rise shakily to her feet. "Papa saved me," he said breathlessly. "He saved my life."
"He loves you," said Mama. "Your family."
"But I blamed you for..." "And then I lost my temper and I moved out."
"Everyone quarrels," said Mama.
Annabelle wanted to say, "We never used to." But there wasn't time for a discussion. "Come on, everybody," she said, shooing her family toward the door. "We have a lot to do. And look at the time. Uncle Doll, Bobby, you take Mama home. And Mama and Dad," said Tiffany, "you and Bailey clean up Nora's room."
"What are you going to do?" Mama Doll asked Annabelle.
"Tiffany and I are going to look for Papa."
"Oh, but you can't," said Mama in a small voice.
"Yes, we can, and we are going to."
"Can we come?" asked Bobby and Bailey.
"Nope, this is for girls only," said Tiffany.
"Besides, if too many people go looking, it will get confusing," said Annabelle.
"We're just going to search quickly and come back before the Palmers wake up." Bailey and Bobby started to protest, but Annabelle said sternly, "And we mean it."
which she had heard Papa say any number of times. So the dolls hurried down the hallway, and the fun crafts began to clean up, and Annabelle and Tiffany huddled briefly by the corner of Nora's bureau. "Where shall we look first?" asked Tiffany. "Well, the captain might be nearby, maybe in Kate's parents' room. But I don't think we should search there, at least not right now. That would be too risky."
"He could just as easily have run downstairs," said Tiffany.
"Maybe we should start there."
"Okay," agreed Annabelle. Annabelle and Tiffany searched the Palmer's dining room and kitchen before they got nervous about the time and returned to their homes.
On her way across Kate's room, Annabelle did a quick check under all the furniture to see whether the captain was hiding nearby with Papa, but he isn't in sight.
"Any luck?" called Mama as soon as she saw Annabelle.
"No." The next day was Saturday, and at least one of the Palmers was home all day long. Annabelle stuck in the dollhouse, worried that Kate would peek inside and wonder why Papa was no longer seated at the table where she had left him the night before. Then she worried that Papa had been injured. Had one of his arms or legs been smashed? Had his head been smashed?
Annabelle could do nothing but wait until bedtime, when she and Tiffany could continue their search.
That night, the first night without Papa, it was Uncle Doll who called, "The coast is clear," when he had decided the Palmer's house was dark and silent enough to mean that all the humans were fast asleep. Annabelle looked at him sitting in the parlor with Mama and Nanny and Bobby and Baby Betsy. She took a picture of them with her mind. Then she made a dash for the stool and was waiting in the hall when Tiffany appeared. The girls made their way downstairs and searched the TV room, the front hallway, and Grandma Catherine's bathroom. They wanted to search Grandma Catherine's bedroom, but were afraid.
"We'll save the worst rooms for last," said Tiffany.
"Tomorrow we'll search the living room." The girls had avoided the living room because the captain's bed was there, but now Annabelle had an idea.
"Tiffany," she exclaimed, "I know I said I didn't want to go near the captain's bed, but I just thought of something. Remember when Nora threw me downstairs and I landed on his bed?"
"Yes."
"Well, I found a lot of stuff in the bed."
"Like what?"
"A couple of Nora's plastic animals, and a toy mouse, and a doll Kate made for Nora."
"So?" said Tiffany.
"Well, don't you see?"
Annabelle felt impatient.
"The captain hides little things in his bed. Maybe that's where he took Papa."
Tiffany gasped and put her hand to her mouth.
"Oh, Annabelle, I bet you're right. First thing tomorrow, we'll search his bed."
"If he's not in it," said Annabelle. When Annabelle and Tiffany kept in the hallway the next night, Annabelle was cross.
"The captain isn't on the end of Kate's bed," she told Tiffany.
"I thought you didn't like him to be there."
"I don't, but if he isn't there, then he might be sleeping on his bed. And if he's on his bed, then we can't search it tonight."
"That's true, but he could also be somewhere else in the house," Tiffany pointed out reasonably.
"So let's go downstairs and look."
Annabelle and Tiffany made the long trip down the living room stairs. When they reached the bottom, Annabelle took Tiffany's hand and said, "Shh," as softly as she was able. Tiffany nodded. Then the girls began to tiptoe to the bed. In case the captain might be nearby, they took a long route around the room, walking along the little path between the wall and the edge of the rug. When they drew near to the old sweater, Annabelle stood still and peered at it.
"Can you see anything?" whispered Tiffany.
"Not much."
The girls stepped a bit closer.
"How about now?" asked Tiffany. Nope, not yet. They tiptoed closer. Suddenly, Annabelle grabbed Tiffany's arm. He's there! The captain is right there! It was all Annabelle could do not to shriek. Tiffany leaned forward. Then she did something that astounded Annabelle. She ran to the edge of the sweater and kicked at it. Nothing happened. She kicked again. Nothing. He couldn't be there, Tiffany announced. He would have felt that for sure. I think you just saw a shadow, Annabelle. Come on, let's explore the sweater. Cautiously, the girls crawled onto the sweater. Tiffany had been right. The captain wasn't there. For 5 long minutes, the girls felt around in the dark. Annabelle found the cow and the chicken again, but not the little doll. Tiffany found the mouse and wanted to take it back to the dream house with her, but Annabelle told her not to. Then Tiffany found a tiny plastic house that Annabelle thought had come from Kate's Monopoly game. But after several more minutes, they still had not found Papa Doll. Are we sure he isn't here? Said Annabelle, poking at the sweater with her foot. Pretty sure, replied Tiffany. I'm sorry, Annabelle. Annabelle looked at her feet. She didn't say anything. Well, we haven't searched everywhere, said Tiffany. We can't give up yet. He could be in the attic with Auntie Sarah. I guess. If we go to the attic, we might find both of them at once. After a long pause, Annabelle said, I don't know. She paused again. What? What are you thinking? Asked Tiffany. I just have a feeling Papa isn't in the attic. Wherever the attic is, I don't think the Palmers go to it very often. And I'm pretty sure the captain can't get into it by himself. So I don't think he took Papa there in the middle of the night when the Palmers were asleep. I guess he could have taken him later, but probably not. So you think your father is somewhere else in the house? Yes, somewhere we haven't searched yet, or somewhere that we can't get to. Then we just have to keep searching. I know. I guess I was hoping it would be easier than this. I wanted Selmp to do a really great job. I wanted us to find Papa. Snap! Like that. And then go to the attic and find Auntie Sarah. Snap! Like that, and we would be heroes. Tiffany smiled. We're going to be heroes, she said. Don't get discouraged, Annabelle. I think your aunt would have. She would have thought up a plan. We thought up a plan, Annabelle pointed out. We thought of searching the captain's bed, but it didn't work. So we need another plan. Annabelle and Tiffany slid off of the captain's bed and sat down under a small chest of drawers. They thought and thought. Annabelle thought until she got a little headache. At last, she said, "The only thing I can think of, and maybe this is really dumb because we'll have to hang around the captain, but the only thing I can think of is to follow the captain. If he's hidden Papa somewhere or dropped him somewhere, maybe he'll go back for him." Well, said Tiffany, I don't exactly want to go following the captain around. But, you know, Annabelle, I think you have a very good idea. I think that's exactly what we should do. When, asked Annabelle. Tomorrow night. Try to keep track of the captain during the day tomorrow if you see him, okay? Annabelle nodded. Then she put her hands on Tiffany's shoulders and said solemnly, United for Selmp. And Tiffany put her hands on Annabelle's shoulders and said solemnly, United for Selmp. If Annabelle had known that she and Tiffany would follow the captain for 4 nights, she might not have mentioned her plan at all. After the 3rd night, she said, Tiffany, I don't think this is working. All the captain does is walk from one bed to another and sleep for a while. His sweater bed, the end of Kate's bed, under Grandma Catherine's bed. This is silly. I think we're wasting time. Besides, our luck won't last forever. I can't believe Kate hasn't looked in the dollhouse yet. Let's just try it one more night, said Tiffany. If we don't find anything interesting, we'll think of something else, okay? Okay, agreed Annabelle. On the fourth night, which was the sixth night after the captain had taken Papa, the girls met in the hallway outside Kate's room as soon as they felt it was safe. Have you seen the captain? Asked Tiffany. Not in a while, but I think he's downstairs. Annabelle and Tiffany made their way to the living room. There he is! He's on his bed, Annabelle whispered a moment later. I can see him. I'm sure of it. I see him, too, Tiffany whispered back. The girls tiptoed around the room until they reached the couch that was across from the sweater bed. When they slid under one end of the couch and lifted the skirt that ran around the bottom, they could just see the captain. He's sound asleep, Annabelle observed. Half an hour later, he was still asleep. But 15 minutes after that, he stirred. Tiffany grabbed Annabelle's wrist. The girls inched forward ever so slightly. The captain sat up. He stretched. He stretched again. Then he eased himself off of the sweater and ambled across the living room. He batted at a little ball as he went by it and sent it flying. At the edge of the living room, he paused. He sat down. He looked to the left. He looked to the right. Then he stood up, turned around, and walked back into the living room. Tiffany nudged Annabelle with her elbow. Annabelle nudged her back. The captain was acting unusual, and this was interesting. Annabelle, who by now was crouched under one of the armchairs, peeking around the edge of the skirt, peered through the darkness. Not far away stood a tall cupboard with drawers, a heavy old piece of furniture that Annabelle had heard Grandma Catherine call an armoire. The captain was walking around it. When he reached the back, he sat down and began scratching at a corner of it, his tail swishing back and forth across the floor. Annabelle leaned forward, listening hard. Tiffany listened, too. Then the girls stared at each other, wide-eyed. Faintly, very faintly, they could hear a voice from behind the armoire calling, "Shoo, cat! Shoo! Go away, captain!" The captain rose onto his hind legs and reached as far up the armoire as he could. Then he stretched his front paws into the small space between the wall and the back of the armoire. He jumped and batted at something, jumped again. Whatever he wanted, he couldn't reach. He slid down until, once more, he was sitting on the floor. Then he let out a frustrated meow before giving up and leaving the living room altogether. The moment he was gone, Annabelle and Tiffany ran behind the armoire. Papa! Called Annabelle. Papa, is that you? Annabelle? Said Papa's voice in surprise. Oh, it is you! Where are you? I'm up here, said Papa. Annabelle and Tiffany looked up. There was Papa, wedged into the space behind the armoire, about 3 feet above their heads. Papa, I can't believe we found you. I'm here with Tiffany. We've been looking and looking for you. We've been looking for days. How did you get way up there? Asked Tiffany. The captain dropped me down from the top, but there isn't much space back here, and I got stuck partway down. I'm glad I didn't land on the floor, but I don't know how to free myself. Okay, said Tiffany. Don't worry. We'll help you. I'll think of something. Annabelle, you stay here with your father. I'll be back as soon as I can. Tiffany ran for the stairs. Annabelle gazed up at Papa. He looked down at her. "What do you suppose Tiffany is going to do?" he asked. "I haven't the faintest idea," explained Annabelle. Chapter 14. The Fun Crafts to the Rescue. For what seemed like hours was probably no more than 3/4 of an hour, Annabelle sat below Papa Doll. She talked to him, told him about the events of the past few days. Although she didn't mention Selp, that was private, just between her and Tiffany, and listened to a story of being carried off by the captain and dropped behind the armoire. "It was terrifying," said Papa. And Annabelle felt horrible. Papa spent his life avoiding excitement, wanting only to reside quietly in the dollhouse. Then Annabelle had decided to change things, had made him venture out of the safety of his house, and look what had happened. By the time she heard Tiffany on the stairs, Annabelle had apologized 6 times to Papa. When Tiffany appeared in the living room, she was not alone. Mom, Dad, and Bailey Funcraft were following her, carrying a rope. Tiffany held one end of it, Mom held the other, and Dad and Bailey propped up the middle so that the rope never touched the floor and didn't make a sound. "What's that for?" asked Annabelle, straining to see the dark. "And where's baby Brittany?" "She's over at your house," replied Tiffany. "Nanny is watching her. And this rope, which is Kate's jump rope, by the way, is for, well, you'll see." "What? What?" said Annabelle. "Just watch. I have a great idea." Annabelle stood back and watched. The Funcrafts must have discussed their rescue operation on the way down the stairs, because now they set to work without saying a word. First, Mom and Bailey tied one end of the rope, which was old and had lost its handles, around Tiffany's middle. This was difficult, since the rope was very thick, but at last they fashioned a tight, if clumsy, knot. Then, with the rope securely around her waist, Tiffany approached the armoire. She reached for the brass pole on the lowest drawer and hoisted herself up. She looked behind her at her family and gave them the thumbs-up sign. "What's going on down there?" Papa called to Annabelle. "I'm not sure," she replied. "Tiffany's climbing up the front of the armoire with a rope. I guess we'll find out the rest in a minute." Tiffany reached for the pole on the second drawer and once again hoisted herself up. Higher and higher she climbed, the rope trailing behind her. At last, she scrambled onto the top of the armoire. She scurried to the back and peered over the edge. "Mr. Doll! Hello!" she called. Annabelle saw her father looking up in surprise. "Tiffany," he exclaimed, "that was so fast!" "Well, I don't have to worry about breaking," she replied. And Annabelle felt envious, thinking of how careful she had to be with her china body. From the other side of the armoire, Dad Funcraft called,
"Okay, Tiffany, we'll hold on to this end of the rope, and you drop over the edge to Mr. Doll."
There was a moment of silence. Then Tiffany said, "You know what? That isn't going to work after all. The rope isn't long enough. It just reached up here. I think I'll have to pull it up and tie the other end of the top drawer pull." Tiffany did so with amazing speed. Then she stood at the back of the armoire and once again looked down at Papa. "Okay, Mr. Doll, here I come," she called, and she leaped over the edge. Annabelle had barely had time to pray that the knot would hold when she heard Papa say, "Oof," as Tiffany landed on him. "Is everything all right?" Annabelle called. She felt something touch her elbow and realized that Mom, Dad, and Bailey had joined her. Yes, fine, said Papa. It's a tight fit, added Tiffany, who had braced herself between the wall and the armoire. For the next few minutes, all Annabelle could hear were grunts and bumps and little scraping sounds. Then she heard Papa say, That did it. I'm free. Hold on tight then, said Tiffany. I'm going to let go now. We should drop right to the floor. But they didn't. The rope, stretching across the top of the armoire before trailing down the back, was not long enough to reach the floor. Oh, geez. Tiffany and Papa dropped another foot and hung there. Now what? Asked Papa nervously. We'll have to jump, said Tiffany, starting to untie the rope. And I'll have to climb the drawer pulls, untie the other end of the rope, and throw it down, said Mom Funcraft cheerfully. We can't leave a thing like that around. I'm afraid to jump, said Papa, as Tiffany removed the rope and they braced themselves against the wall. Mom reached the top of the armoire, untied the rope, tossed it to the floor, and climbed down again, and still Papa hadn't moved. Papa, you have to jump, Annabelle cried. It's getting late. We have to go home now, all of us. I'll jump first, said Tiffany. She dropped to the floor with a small clatter. Well, then, here I come, said Papa shakily. Annabelle heard the crack when he landed. I've broken my leg, said Papa. Huh? Annabelle and the Funcrafts didn't waste another second. They ran to Papa and dragged him to the front of the armoire. Annabelle was just thinking that they were being awfully noisy when she heard the pad, pad, pad of the captain. Danger! Danger! Cried Annabelle. The dolls scattered, except for Papa, who couldn't stand up. In an instant, he was clamped between the captain's jaws once again, and the captain trotted off, looking smug. Help! Cried Papa.
Follow them! Cried Dad.
Annabelle and the Funcrafts ran after the captain, but skidded to a halt when they saw a pair of feet in fuzzy slippers approach.
Hide! Hissed Annabelle.
She and the Funcrafts dove behind a chair. Annabelle peered out.
Captain!
Exclaimed a startled voice. The feet belonged to Grandma Catherine, who turned on a light.
What have you got in your mouth? Why, it's Papa Doll, Naughty Kitty.
Mother, is everything all right?
Now Mrs. Palmer appeared, walking sleepily down the stairs.
What's going on? Oh, I couldn't sleep, and I was going to the kitchen for some tea, began Grandma Catherine, when I nearly bumped into the captain, who was running around with this in his mouth.
She held up Papa. Mrs. Palmer scowled.
All right, I believe the captain will have to stay downstairs at night. No more sleeping in Kate's room, at least for a while.
Yes! Exclaimed Annabelle silently.
Mrs. Palmer and Grandma Catherine examined Papa under a lamp.
Oh, look, his leg is cracked, said Mrs. Palmer.
I can fix it, though, said Grandma Catherine. All it needs is a little glue. I'll do it tomorrow and put Papa back in the dollhouse while Kate is at school. She won't even know what happened.
Annabelle and the Funcrafts remained motionless behind the chair until the Palmers' house was quiet again. Annabelle was jubilant. The captain had been shut in the kitchen, and he wouldn't roam the second floor at night. At least not for a long time, she suspected. Better yet, Papa would be returned to the dollhouse the very next day. The dolls began the climb up the stairs. Annabelle and Tiffany hung back.
They pulled each other up the steps while Mom, Dad, and Bailey scurried ahead of them.
"What made you think of the rope?" Annabelle asked, impressed.
"It just came to me," Tiffany replied.
"Well, it was a great idea."
Annabelle paused.
"I don't know how Papa would have gotten down without you."
"You were the one who figured out how to look for him," Tiffany pointed out.
"That was brilliant."
Annabelle grinned, but then she added,
"It almost didn't work,
but in the end, it did. That's what counts."
When they reached the top of the stairs, Annabelle and the Funcrafts ran to Kate's room, climbed the stool, and told the dolls the wonderful news. Bobby asked a dozen questions. Nanny put her hand over her heart, and Mama nearly fainted again.
"He'll be home tomorrow," Mama kept saying.
"That's what Grandma Catherine said," Annabelle reported.
Dad Funcraft looked across Kate's room at her clock.
"We better leave," he said. "The Palmers will be getting up soon."
"Well, we'll come visit you," Mama promised, "now that we won't have to worry about the captain. We'll come as soon as Papa is back and his leg has dried. We can have a celebration."
"Mama, can I walk Tiffany home?" asked Annabelle.
"Just as far as Kate's door," Mama replied. Annabelle put her hand in Tiffany's.
"Let's go," she said.
At the doorway, Tiffany told her family to go home ahead of her.
"I'll be right there.
I promise.
I just want to talk to Annabelle for a second."
When Annabelle and Tiffany were standing in the shadows by Kate's door, Tiffany said,
"Selp did a pretty good job."
"This assignment was a success," Annabelle agreed proudly.
"Now it's time to go back to our first assignment."
"Auntie Sarah," said Annabelle.
"Auntie Sarah,"
Annabelle nodded solemnly. She and Tiffany put their hands on each other's shoulders.
"United for Selp," they said.
Tiffany turned to leave then, but Annabelle caught her hand.
"There's one other thing," she whispered. "We have to find out who has been writing in Auntie Sarah's journal."
Annabelle didn't have a chance to look at the journal until the next night. After she left Tiffany, she had just barely returned to the dollhouse before Kate's alarm clock went off. In a flash, the doll family resumed the positions in which Kate had left them nearly a week earlier, the last time she had played in the dollhouse.
Gee, I wonder how they remember.
They were still in them when, not long after Kate had left for school, Annabelle heard footsteps on the stairs. Moments later, Grandma Catherine entered Kate's room with Papa doll cradled gently in her hands. Annabelle didn't move, but she lowered her eyes ever so slightly for a better view.
"Well, now," Grandma Catherine said as she stood before the dollhouse,
"what an adventure you had, Papa. Your leg should be good as new very quickly, though."
Grandma Catherine placed Papa on the couch in the parlor. Then she left Kate's room. Annabelle listened to her footsteps. She heard them pad down the hallway, then creak down the stairs. When she was fairly certain that Grandma Catherine had reached the bottom step, she cried softly,
"Papa!"
And Mama murmured, "Is your leg truly all right?" Annabelle could not help herself. She leaped up and ran for the stairs, pulling Bobby behind her.
"It'll just be for a few minutes," she called over her shoulder before Nanny could protest.
She needn't have bothered. Nanny followed her down the stairs. Uncle Doll hurried out of his room. Everyone except baby Betsy, who was asleep, gathered around Papa. He stood up to show the dolls that his leg was fine. Or nearly. It needed to dry a bit longer. Mama hugged him. Nanny kissed his cheek. Annabelle and Bobby hugged him. Then Uncle Doll held out his hand and shook Papa Doll's.
I'm sorry, he said. I apologize. I apologize, too. I think we both said some things we didn't mean. We had a disagreement, said Uncle Doll. Papa glanced across the room at the Barbie camper. Are you... he started to say. No, Uncle Doll interrupted him. I moved back home again. I miss my room, and Barbie's furniture isn't terribly comfortable. Bobby stepped forward and touched the leg of Papa's pants. Can I see the crack? He asked. Bobby! Exclaimed Nanny, but Papa lifted the leg of his trousers and pointed out the crack. It was no thicker than a hair. A wave of relief washed over Annabelle. After a few more hugs, and after Papa had described four times how it felt to be clamped between a cat's jaws, and after he had told the tale of his adventures from his capture to his rescue, Mama said, "Well, I suppose we should return to..." "Oh, please, just tell us about the captain's teeth once more, please," begged Bobby. "Tonight," Papa promised, and the dolls returned to their positions. Chapter 15, Into the Attic. That night, Papa didn't wait as long as usual before he announced, "The coast is clear." The moment the words were out of his mouth, the dolls ran to where he lay in the parlor. Annabelle had been about to reach for the journal, but she joined her family instead. "Now, how do you feel?" was the first thing Mama said to Papa. "Even better," he replied. "I think the glue is dry." Papa sat up. Uncle Doll sat next to him. He and Papa smiled at each other. "We're glad to have you back with us," said Papa. "You're part of the family. You belong here." "Thank you. Yes, I know," said Uncle Doll, looking more pleased than uncomfortable. "Now the whole family is together," said Annabelle, "except for, well, you know..." "Let's not talk about that tonight," said Bobby, glancing at the adults. Annabelle knew he didn't want any fighting on Papa's first night at home again, and neither did Annabelle, but she did want to find Auntie Sarah. So a few minutes later, she returned to the nursery. She opened Auntie Sarah's journal and flipped to the last page on which there was writing. She gasped. Oh, a new paragraph had been added. Ah! It read, "Made another trip to the attic this morning. Wish humans would leave door to attic stairs open more often, but they usually close it. It's just next to Catherine's bedroom. Perhaps a draught comes in when the door is open." Annabelle dropped the journal. Ah, she didn't even finish reading the entry. She now knew two things. One, the way to the attic was up a staircase next to a bedroom, which was probably the room in which Kate's parents now slept. Two, someone knew that Annabelle had found the journal, was writing in it, wanted Annabelle to look for Auntie Sarah in the attic, and was telling her the way to the attic. What? Annabelle clattered down the staircase, not even bothering to be quiet. "I have to find Tiffany," she cried as she skidded into the parlor. "It's an emergency. I'll be back later." And she began scrambling down the stool without waiting for her parents or Nanny or Uncle Doll to answer her. She had flown across Kate's room and was rounding the corner into the hall when she crashed into another moving object. "Oh, no, please don't let me be in Doll State again," thought Annabelle. And then she saw that she had run into Tiffany. The girls straightened up quickly and flattened themselves against the wall. "You won't guess what I found," exclaimed Annabelle, gasping a little, just as Tiffany whispered, "It's time for our next mission." "What?" they both said. "Then you go first," said Tiffany. "Okay, but not here in the hall." Annabelle pulled Tiffany back into Kate's room, and they scurried under her dresser. Then Annabelle told her what she had read in the journal.
"The door next to the Palmer's bedroom?" said Tiffany. "Well, what are we waiting for? Let's go! It's time for our next mission anyway. That's what I was coming to tell you."
"Don't we need supplies or something?" asked Annabelle.
"This is our biggest mission yet. We'll just explore on this one," replied Tiffany. "If we need supplies, we'll come back and get them. First, let's see if we can just get upstairs."
"Okay," Annabelle led the way along the hall to Kate's parents' room.
"Here's their door," she said. It was partway open. Annabelle peeked inside. The room was dimly lit by moonlight shining through a window. Annabelle could hear the soft sounds of breathing, a clock ticking, blankets rustling. Tiffany pulled her away. A few steps farther down the hall, and they were standing by another door.
"Darn, it's closed," Tiffany whispered loudly.
"I don't think I've ever seen it open," said Annabelle.
"Well, not in a long time, anyway. I thought it was a closet door. The Palmers don't like the captain to go in closets, so they keep the closet doors closed."
"They probably don't want him to go in the attic either," said Tiffany. The girls stared at the enormous closed door. Then they looked at each other, and then Annabelle reached out and stuck her hands in the crack under the door. She gripped the door and pulled, and the door swung open a few inches.
"Hey!" cried Tiffany. "The latch hadn't caught. I just had a feeling," said Annabelle.
"Well, come on," said Tiffany. Annabelle and Tiffany slithered behind the partly open door. The darkness on the other side was much darker than the darkness in the hallway. They could barely see.
"This is scary," Annabelle whispered.
"I know, but there's nothing we can do about it. Maybe there will be moonlight in the attic."
Annabelle let out a small sigh. Then she and Tiffany began feeling their way up the staircase.
"It isn't carpeted," said Annabelle.
"This is harder than going up the living room stairs."
"Lots harder," Tiffany agreed as her hand slipped and she toppled back on Annabelle.
But the girls kept going. Annabelle said over and over inside her head,
"Here we come, Auntie Sarah. Here we come, Auntie Sarah. We're coming, we're coming, we're coming."
She set it to a marching tune and hummed it to herself as she and Tiffany scaled step after step. Annabelle felt they had climbed quite a long way when she realized she could see her hands in front of her.
"Look, Tiffany," she said. "It's lighter here. I think we're almost at the top step."
Sure enough, the girls climbed one more step, and Annabelle realized that she could see a bit again, and that ahead of her now stretched a long expanse of rough wooden floor.
"Tiffany," she said, "I think we're in the attic."
Tiffany grinned. Then she said, "It's so light in here. It's almost as if it were daytime."
"The light's shining through that window," said Annabelle, pointing.
The girls looked ahead of them at a large window. Moonlight poured in.
"It must be a full moon tonight," said Tiffany.
Annabelle turned her attention to the rest of the attic.
"It's kind of messy," she said.
"I think attics are supposed to be messy," replied Tiffany.
"But boxes, trunks, junk, stuff, how are we going to look for Auntie Sarah?"
"We'll just start," said Tiffany practically. "We don't have much time."
"We'll call as we look," added Annabelle.
Annabelle and Tiffany waded through dust bunnies. They peered around corners of cartons. They crawled under discarded furniture.
"Auntie Sarah!" Annabelle called softly.
"Hello!
Is anybody up here?" called Tiffany.
They paused frequently to listen, but heard nothing except little twitterings and chirpings and sometimes the wind. Finally, Tiffany said, "Annabelle, I think we better go back. It's getting late." "No, I don't want to leave. I think she's here. I can feel her." "We'll come back tomorrow night," Annabelle sighed. "All right." But at noon the next day, the sun began to fade, and by nightfall, rain lashed the windows. Tiffany showed up just moments after Kate had gone to bed and said sadly, "It will be too dark to search the attic tonight, Annabelle. No moonlight." "I know. I thought about that all afternoon. We'll try tomorrow night if we can." But the rain stayed. It stayed for days. "And you know what?" Annabelle said to Tiffany one dark night. "What?" "By the time the rain stops, we probably won't have any moonlight to search by. It'll be just a sliver of a moon." "I wish we had a flashlight," said Tiffany. "I mean, a big human flashlight." "But we..." I know. "We wouldn't be able to carry it. I was just wishing." In the end, Annabelle and Tiffany had to wait days and days and days before they could search for Auntie Sarah again. They had to wait until the next night with no clouds and an almost full moon. "I hope the attic door is still open," said Annabelle on that night as they hurried down the hallway. They did not bother to listen for the captain, who truly had been banished to the first floor. The dolls hadn't seen him at nighttime in weeks. The door was open. Annabelle and Tiffany climbed the attic stairs as fast as they could and stood in the moonlight. "Let's start at the other end of the room this time," said Tiffany. So they did. Once again, they waded through dust bunnies and peeked around the corners of cartons. Annabelle even climbed a pile of musty old clothes, stood atop it, and called, "Auntie Sarah! Auntie Sarah, it's me, Annabelle! Where are you?" She listened intently for an answer, but heard nothing. Several hours later, Annabelle heard a clock chiming very faintly from somewhere downstairs. "Tiffany!" she exclaimed. "Was that four chimes?" "Yes," replied Tiffany. "Uh-oh." "We have to leave right now." The trip down the attic stairs seemed to take forever, since Annabelle and Tiffany had to creep down them very slowly. Without carpeting, their movements made tiny clicks and thumps and clatters, but they managed to return to their homes before the Palmers awoke. The members of SELMP searched the attic again the next night without any luck. Annabelle began to fear that Auntie Sarah would not be found soon. "Oh, I just can't bear the thought of waiting for the next full moon," she said to Tiffany. "Let's try tomorrow night anyway. Maybe there will be enough light to see by." On the third night of the search, the light had faded, but Annabelle and Tiffany were familiar with the attic and poked through its hiding places anyway. "How much time do we have?" Tiffany asked Annabelle after a while. "I don't know." Annabelle was disentangling her foot from a bit of rag that was caught under the corner of an enormous steamer trunk. "Look at all the stickers on that trunk," said Tiffany. "Someone sure traveled a lot. I bet it was William Sieb." "Hey!" cried Annabelle. "Hey! Hey! Hey!" She didn't bother to keep her voice down. "Shh!" said Tiffany. Annabelle ignored her. "Hey!" she said again. "What is it?" "This!" exclaimed Annabelle, poking at the rag she had tripped over. Tiffany bent down to examine it. "Yeah? It's..." Annabelle's voice caught. "It's... I'm pretty sure it's Auntie Sarah's dress!" Annabelle was standing at a corner of the trunk. With her shoe, she poked at the bit of faded blue fabric. Then she peeked around the corner, and there, between the trunk and the attic wall, the skirt of her dress, trapped neatly under the trunk, was Auntie Sarah. What? Annabelle gasped. Speechless, she grabbed Tiffany and pulled her to her discovery. Tiffany stared in horror. "Is that your aunt?" she whispered. "I think so." The girls stared. Auntie Sarah was covered in dust. Her left hand was chipped. Old cobwebs stretched between the trunk and her dress. Her eyes stared dully ahead. "Auntie Sarah?" Annabelle said tentatively. She looked into the expressionless eyes. "Auntie Sarah, it's me. It's Annabelle." Auntie Sarah didn't move. "Are you sure it's your aunt?" asked Tiffany. "Maybe it's some other doll. I don't think she's alive." "No, it's Auntie Sarah," replied Annabelle, a sinking feeling in her stomach. "But I think she's in permanent doll state." "Oh!" Tiffany lowered her eyes. "Oh, I'm so sorry." Annabelle poked at Auntie Sarah's dress, her chipped hand, the cobwebs. "We might as well leave," she said. Then she jumped as a loud voice exclaimed, "Are you crazy? After all this time?" Annabelle stumped backward against Tiffany. The doll on the attic floor had spoken. Ooh. Chapter 16. The Dolls Make a Plan. "Auntie Sarah?" Annabelle had found herself clutching at Tiffany, but now she let go and stepped toward the doll on the floor. "Are you alive? Are you really alive?" "I'm coming, too," said Auntie Sarah, and Annabelle remembered a time years and years ago when Grandma Catherine had been playing with her in bed and had forgotten about her, and Annabelle had slipped down between the side of the bed and the wall. She had been wedged there for close to a week, and during that time had felt groggy and sluggish, like a frog hibernating at the bottom of a pond. She hadn't been in doll state, but she had felt as if she had been in another kind of state, one that changed her perception of time, so that when she was finally discovered, she had been surprised to find that 6.5 days had passed instead of merely an hour or two. "Auntie Sarah, we've been looking everywhere for you." "We've been searching and searching," added Tiffany. "You don't know me, but I..." "Is Amarobius Ferrix nearby?" asked Auntie Sarah sleepily. "What?" said Annabelle. The black lace weaver?" "Is that a spider?" asked Tiffany brightly. "Yes, and I was so close to it." Annabelle uttered a cry and jumped aside. "Annabelle, that was 45 years ago," said Tiffany. "I don't think it's still around."
45 years ago?"
exclaimed Auntie Sarah, sounding both distressed and more awake. "Yes," said Annabelle.
"But how?"
"Annabelle read your journal," said Tiffany, and Annabelle dug her elbow into Tiffany's side.
"What? Oh, my!"
Annabelle knelt beside Auntie Sarah.
"Can you sit up?" she asked. "No, I'm stuck. That's the problem."
"Well, wiggle out your dress then," said Tiffany.
"I can't. I've tried and tried, but I'm sewn into it, and part of my sleeve is caught, too. See?"
"Okay, then we'll pull you out," said Annabelle. "Here, Tiffany, grab her shoulders." Annabelle and Tiffany grabbed and pulled and pulled
and pulled some more.
Nothing happened.
"I guess we're not strong enough," said Tiffany at last, eyeing the trunk. "How could you get trapped here anyway?"
I took off to explore one day. I suppose I should have told someone where I was going, but I was in a rush. And Annabelle, your parents didn't like me to talk about my explorations. So I just dashed to the attic, and I was so close to Amarobius Ferox. I could just see her legs creeping out from under a floorboard when someone came into the attic with a big pile of things, boxes and clothing, and I don't know what. I didn't even know anyone was at home. I hid right away, of course. Whoever it was very busy for quite a while, putting things away, moving cartons around. I thought I had found the perfect hiding place when suddenly I felt the trunk shift, and then it was lifted up slightly, and when it was lowered to the ground, it came down on my dress. It just missed my legs and my left arm. I was lucky it hadn't come down on me. I would have been crushed. But I was trapped. I couldn't move. I thought I would just wait for some kind of help to come, and then I suppose I must have drifted off.
For 45 years, exclaimed Tiffany. Isn't that something?
45 years, Auntie Sarah repeated. Why, Catherine must be... Let me see...
She's a grandmother now, said Tiffany.
She had a daughter named Annie, added Annabelle.
Named for me, I think, and now Annie has a daughter named Kate, and we are Kate's dolls.
Well, I'm not, said Tiffany. I'm one of Nora's dolls.
Who's Nora? Asked Auntie Sarah.
So Annabelle and Tiffany sat down to tell Auntie Sarah some of the things that had happened since she had disappeared. They were trying to explain about the Funcrafts' dream house when suddenly Annabelle cried,
Tiffany, what are we doing? We have to go home now, and we have to figure out some way to get Auntie Sarah out of here.
We're going to need help, said Tiffany.
I know.
Annabelle paused. Then she said, I just thought of something. What will we do with Auntie Sarah after we free her? We can't just bring her back to our house after all these years. She can't simply appear there. What would the Palmers think?
I don't know. We'll have to leave her here for now, said Tiffany.
All right, folks. Well, that's all the time we have for today.
This Young at Heart program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I hope you will join us next time for Young at Heart. If you have any ideas or comments, we'd love to hear from you. I'm Lavender. Thank you for listening.
Audio Journal is supported in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. We are a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
This is not a public service announcement. This is a one-minute mystery.
Europeans love the game football, or what we commonly call soccer. The excitement of attending a game often increases dramatically when you're surrounded by the crowd screaming for their favorite teams and players. Not long ago, Coventry, England hosted a soccer tournament. Following the introduction of the players and the singing of the national anthem, an announcement came over the PA asking the crowd to keep the noise to a minimum throughout the game. Why would such a strange request be made?
And here's the solution to our mystery.
The tournament was being played by five teams of blind soccer players. The soccer ball they used was filled with 100 ball bearings. Everyone had to remain quiet so that the players could hear the ball's location.
And now back to our regular programming.